discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
On April 15th, 2013, Rebecca Gregory and her five-year-old son were waiting at the finish line of the Boston Marathon when the blasts of homemade terrorist bombs went off just 3 feet away. Though her legs took the brunt of the blast, protecting her son from almost certain death, she feels her entire life has been a series of smaller blasts, each of them, she now says, preparing her for that unthinkable day. Today, we'll trace her story from tragedy into the arms of Jesus. Welcome to the show, Rebecca. What an honor to have you here today.
Thanks so much. It's an honor to be on.
So your story begins far in advance of the events of April 15th, 2013. Can you trace your youth a bit for us? You experienced some real challenges even pretty early in life, didn't you?
I did, and that was my main reason for wanting to write the book, is just to give people my whole story and not just the Boston Marathon bombing, because I feel like I had so many different obstacles throughout my entire life, starting with my childhood. You know, I was in a very abusive home with a dad that was an evangelist that traveled all over the world preaching, but then would, you know, come back and beat me and my mom. And so that was really difficult at a very young age. And then I kind of grew up in the whole sink or swim notion, and I had a car accident that should have killed me. I got held up in a Walmart parking lot and robbed at gunpoint. So, you know, my life was very eventful before the bombs went off in Boston.
Well, yes, you just told me before we got on what birthday you are celebrating today, and it almost does not seem possible that one person can live that much life in those few years. But it's true, and it is an incredible book because of that and because of the way that you write. I wonder, I mean, the question obviously has to be a very complex answer. I mean, what was your view of faith growing up, considering the situation with your dad?
I think complex would be a great word for it, because I always knew that there was something greater than me out there. And my mom really instilled that into us early in life. And I would go to church and I would meet so many incredible people. So, but then I would, you know, see my dad, who was up in the pulpit preaching God's love, and then turn around and be this different person behind closed doors. So it was very skewed from a very early point in my childhood. But every time that I started to question my faith or doubt God, he revealed himself to me in such a powerful way. And I look back and I can see where I turned my back on him and the trouble I got myself into as a result of it, but he never failed me. And when I started listening to his plans and not so much of my own anymore, my life just completely transformed.
Let's talk about the two incidents that you mentioned in passing, because as you said, first of all, you were held up in a Walmart parking lot. Describe that scenario.
I was 6 months before I went to Boston. I had just moved to Texas, and I didn't know the area very well. And Noah and I, my son, were out on a familiar excursion at Walmart, and I was packing up my groceries in the trunk of the car, and he was in the buggy seat, and there was a guy that came up, and he put a gun to my back, and I said, "Take whatever you want, but don't do anything in front of my son." And so it was just really crazy. I caught him off guard. I think I was off guard, and he kind of rustled through my purse and left, thankfully. And later they did end up catching him, so that was a blessing too. Yeah, it was a crazy night for sure.
Well, yes. And 2.5 years before that, this really serious car accident happens as well. Tell the story of that.
I was driving down the road one morning for work. I worked at a dialysis clinic at the time. It was 4:30 that I had to be there, and so it was a little bit earlier than that. And I was running on fumes at that point in my life. I was a single mom. I was trying to make as much money as possible and be as successful as possible for my child, who was a toddler at that time. And I just I got caught up in the ways of the world, I guess, and I was running on nothing but adrenaline, and I wrecked my car, and I probably didn't have more than 2 hours of sleep the night before, and I hit a deer. A deer jumped out in front of me, and I hit it, and it went, my car started spinning out of control, and it flipped and broke into two separate pieces.
Oh my goodness.
When I woke up, I was staring a dead deer in the face, and his antler was lodged into my wrist.
Oh my goodness. This, if you're just joining us, by the way, this is the voice of Rebecca Gregory, who's a survivor of the Boston Marathon bombing 4 years ago today, as you hear this show on Saturday, April the 15th. And this is a woman of profound faith in Jesus, author of the book, Taking Back My Life, My Story of Faith, Determination, and Surviving the Boston Marathon Bombing. And as you describe this story in the book, you indicate that it had some pretty profound implications for you. You say that, of course, each of these stories you describe as being smaller blasts, but how specifically did that accident reshape your life in a sense?
It shaped my life in the way that I wanted to stop doing what I was doing. I was just kind of out of control, not in the sense that I was a bad person, but I was just trying so hard to get things right that I didn't realize what my priorities were at the time. And I just decided that that was when I needed to put my faith in God, and I needed to ease up on the throttle a little bit. And it wasn't until I was in that wreck and I realized that my son Noah could have been with me, and the whole back seat of my car was gone. And so had he been in his car seat on any other given day, he would have been, then, you know, another time where he wouldn't have made it through that. And so it just really put my priorities back into order, and it made me realize again how short life really is. And so as easy as that is to look back on and know that that's what I was feeling at the time, it's also easy to get caught up in life again, too. And I think we all go through that, where life blows up in our face and we try to figure out what we're doing, and then we're on a good path, and then all of a sudden something else happens and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't take any more.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, this is just an incredible story. And of course, as our friends are listening to us here today, Rebecca, it is the 15th of April, and of course, 4 years ago today, how did you find yourself to be at the finish line of the Boston Marathon?
That was kind of on a whim, because it was my birthday weekend, my first time ever in the city of Boston, and I had gone up there to cheer on a runner and a friend of a guy that I was dating at the time. And I just happened to be right there when the first bomb went off 3 feet behind us. And we had started off the day at the 17-mile marker. My son Noah, who was 5 at the time, was with me. We were cheering on the runners as they were passing, holding up our signs. We were so excited. I'll never forget the enthusiasm in the air. It was something so electrifying. And one member in our group decided we needed to make our way closer to the finish line and be right there in the action. And that's where we were. And it's crazy to think back to, because there were 500,000 people there that day. And I am now one of the 17 amputees, and I was 3 feet from the first bomb that went off. So it's just hard to believe.
I mean, I can't even imagine how difficult it must have been to write about this, but you share the story of those moments in the book. Can you remember? I mean, what are your memories of the explosion itself, or is it just all a blur somehow?
I wish it was all a blur, because the emotional part is the most difficult part of all. And people think that we got knocked unconscious or we may not remember. But for me, I remember everything from that day. I remember being pinned to the ground. My bones were laying next to me on the sidewalk. My leg was on fire. I remember the nails and the BBs and the ball bearings and everything that these two brothers packed into these two pressure cooker bombs went to, you know, within everyone. And they pierced their bodies and were laying all over the ground with pools of blood. And those are the kind of things that haunt my nightmares. Those are the kind of things that make me scared to leave my house on some days. And I have to give myself a pep talk and say, Rebecca, nobody's going to try to kill you today. But that's the reality of life after terrorism. And so those images are something that I don't think I will ever be able to get out of my head. But then I look back, and a dear friend recently told me, he said, April 15th could have been etched into your tombstone, and it wasn't. And so because of that, you live a meaningful life. You thank God for every new day that you're given, and you really enjoy things like you've never enjoyed them before. And that is so true. Wow. And I'm blessed to be able to do that now.
Oh, my word. Such a powerful story today from Rebecca Gregory, a survivor of the Boston Marathon bombing 4 years ago today, a woman of profound faith in Jesus. Her book is called Taking Back My Life, My Story of Faith, Determination, and Surviving the Boston Marathon Bombing. And I know that the choice of the word survivor is very, very intentional for you. And I'd love to ask you some more about that. I wonder if we go back to the day again. I mean, you extraordinarily depict how conscious you were. What's going through your mind in those moments as you're lying there? What does a person think about in that moment?
I think a series of things goes, I mean, I know that a series of things went through my mind and anyone else that's kind of in that position. My first thought was, where is my little boy? He had gotten bored watching the runners pass. And so I had told him right beforehand to sit down on my feet, and he had his back against my shins. And that's exactly where he was when the bomb in the backpack went off behind us. And so later I found out that my body shielded him, essentially, and I took everything in the back of the legs, and that's what saved his life. They said had he been standing like he was supposed to be, he would have died on impact. But, of course, at the time, I didn't know that, and I couldn't even see him anywhere. I shouldn't have been able to hear him because my eardrums were blown out by the blast. But I could distinctly hear him screaming, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy." And there was just something in me to look for my child. And so while I laid there and I was pinned to the ground, I started frantically turning my head, trying to locate my son. Mm-hmm. And I ended up seeing him behind me. And so my thought process was, if I just reached and embraced him, just pull him towards me, at least he will be there with me. And I went to do that, and I lifted up my left hand, and all of my bones were completely exposed and sticking out. My skin had been peeled back to my wrist, and my hand was degloved. And that was the moment where I was like, I'm going to die right here on the street. Like, there is nothing left in me. I was helpless.
Oh, man. What do you say? What do you say to a story like this? Well, this begins this valiant effort to save your left leg, and you have this series of, how many surgeries did you experience on your leg?
I have been put under 18 times, and I've had a total of probably 65 surgeries, maybe more than that. I stopped counting at that number because it's just been insane, but they wanted desperately to save my left leg, and so we did a process called limb salvage. But when I woke up from a medically induced coma, I made a promise to myself that I was not going to be angry about this. And I was thankful to still be alive. And later I found out that my son was okay. And right at about the time that I was waking up, he was coming to visit me because they had taken Noah to a completely separate hospital because they didn't know that he was with me that day.
Oh, of course.
So I feel like that was God's way of telling me to rest. And, you know, let him do the work, and then I would see Noah. But it began a long, long process of recovery and surgeries, and I was in a bed or in a wheelchair for a year and a half of my life. And finally, in November 2014, I called it a bad boyfriend that I needed to get out of my life ASAP, and I made the decision to amputate my left leg below the knee.
You write that you should have died that day, but that you believe that God spared you for a reason, and a very specific one. What do you mean by that?
I feel like through all of this, as wild as it sounds, that I found my purpose. And it doesn't make me you know, want to be in this position because I wish that I could go back and just one more day where terrorism wasn't a part of our lives, but I can't do that. And so what I can do is make the most of what I've been given. And what I've been given is a huge opportunity to inspire and encourage others. And I feel like God has given me that platform. And I remember when a Speakers Bureau premier from Nashville reached out to me and said, do you think you'd want to speak on, you know, different subjects? And I said, are you crazy? And I thought back to college when I did public speaking, and I was like, no way. Like, I hated that class, you know. But I tried it out, and I ended up loving it. And it became my passion because I was just sharing my heart with people. And I remember saying a prayer, and I said, God, if this is what you want me to do with my life, open the door. And the next day after that prayer, I was booked for an entire year. And that was almost, you know, two and a half years ago, and I'm still speaking on a regular basis. So it's just incredible what God can really do.
Oh, that is so well said. And people can understand as they hear you tell this story why you're so good at it, because it's such a gripping way that you recount what happened to you, not only the day of the bombing, but your life until then and the incredible journey that you've gone on with Jesus. The book is called Taking My Life Back, My Story of Faith, Determination, and Surviving the Boston Marathon Bombing. Rebecca Gregory, a survivor of the events of that day 4 years ago today. And of course, you mentioned it in the response from the hospital there that Noah was visiting you, that he was okay. But how is he doing today? Because, I mean, we can only imagine the trauma of going through something like that. As a five-year-old at the time, how is he coping?
Noah's one tough little cookie, and I'm so proud to be his mom. And he calls me his robot mom. So that kind of gives you an indication on how Noah's doing. He's wonderful. And Noah ended up having a cut to his bone on his right leg. They were able to stitch up. He had a piece of shrapnel graze the back of his head. And he was out of the hospital in 5 days, and now he's running around like a normal kid. And it's been really a blessing that Noah was so young, because I was able to get him into therapy early. And there was a point in time when Noah could remember everything from that day, and he could remember what people were wearing around him and what they were doing, and he can't do that anymore. And the more time that goes by, he remembers less and less.
Oh, thank goodness.
And we try so hard to focus on our blessings and not our problems, and that's been something that we've really tried to do from the beginning. So Noah really doesn't ask about it. You know, he it's obviously something that we talk about, especially because I live my life going around and telling my story now, and he knows that and he sees different things, but it's something that doesn't bother him, and I'm very, very thankful for that.
One of the things that you have such a unique window into, tragically, is the reality of these terrorist attacks. And I just wonder, as someone who has been so close to one, we all as a country are trying to process, and as a world, trying to process these events that tragically continue to happen. I mean, we see these headlines again and again and again, even in the past week, you know, news of just devastation and of loss that is so mind-numbing and so non-understandable for all of us. But as someone who has been there, did it change the way that you process these headlines? I mean, what goes on in your heart and your head when you see another story of yet another terrorist attack?
It absolutely changed everything about it. I think I was one of those people beforehand that looked at the news and it was a sad story, but I'm like, that'll never happen to me or my family. And then it did. And you realize how close to home it really is. And every time there is a terrorist attack or something, it's so scary. And there's sometimes where I just don't even get out of bed that day because I'm so emotionally hit by it. And it's scary to leave the house sometimes. And, you know, our world is such a scary place too right now. But if I've learned anything in the last 4 years, it's that there is still more good than there is bad. And I just want to be a part of that good. And so, you know, if we still continue to have that outweighing of good versus the evil, then, you know, there's a lot more people willing to do the dirty work to get rid of it once and for all. I don't know what it's going to take, but I'll do my part, that's for sure.
Oh, that's so good. What an eloquent way of saying that. Thank you for that, Hope. That's amazing.
Thank you.
In terms of working through days like that, because again, and I've said the same phrase like four or five times in this conversation, but we can only imagine. I mean, when you go through a day like that where you do just want to stay in bed and you have those images and I'm sure the smells and the just the memories in your head of what you went through, what's the conversation between you and God? How does faith carry you through those days where you just don't even want to go outside the house?
The most amazing thing about God and about having a relationship with Him is that you don't have to be strong on, you know, well, any time, because He carries you through. And I don't feel like I am courageous. I don't feel like I'm strong or brave, but with Him, I am. And He's given me such an appreciation for every single thing. And even on the bad days, my blessings are going to far outweigh my problems. And so I look at my husband and I look at my children and they're thriving. And so even though my heart is hurting, it is so full. And every single day that happens. And there's so many times where I want to give up, but then I'm so glad that I didn't. And what I've learned is that we each go through stuff. You know, the majority of people are not going to get blown up by a bomb at a marathon, and I hope that continues to not be the case. But everyone has life blow up in their face, and it happens again and again and again. But if we keep going, if we realize that whatever we're going through at that time is just a chapter, then I feel like those can ultimately lead us to the most beautiful chapters of our lives. And I know that because I see it firsthand in my own life.
That is so well said. As we finish up our time with Rebecca Gregory, a survivor of the Boston Marathon bombing 4 years ago today, a woman of profound faith in Jesus, author of Taking Back My Life, My Story of Faith, Determination, and Surviving the Boston Marathon Bombing. I think that it would be the most understandable thing in the world for you to avoid the place where this happened to you and to your son. But just 2 years after the bombing and 2 years ago, you chose to not only return for the marathon, but to run part of it yourself. Why did you do that?
I think that's a part of taking back my life, you know, and I said when I crossed the finish line that day, and it was the hardest thing that I've ever done, but I took my life back that day. And every day since, I continue to do that. And that's why taking my life back was such an important title to the book, because every time that I decide that my determination is going to be greater than my fear, that God is bigger than anything that's trying to destroy me, I'm taking a piece of that back from the two brothers that tried to take it all away from me in the first place.
Perhaps of all the extraordinary stories that we've heard on the road, one of the very most extraordinary we've been allowed to hear today. The story of Rebecca Gregory, Taking My Life Back, of My Story of Faith, Determination, and Surviving the Boston Marathon Bombing. Rebecca, we do not want to say farewell without giving you a chance to tell us, where can we go to buy the book? Where can we go to learn more about you and follow along with your just incredible ministry?
Thank you so much for having me on. Everyone can buy the book at Barnes & Noble, on Amazon, or wherever books are sold. My website is RebeccaMGregory.com, and all of my social media is Rebecca Gregory as well. I'm so humbled, and this has been so fun. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Considering what you have done in these first decades of your life, we can only imagine what to expect from you in the next few decades of your life. Rebecca, it's such a joy to have you here today, and thank you for your time. We know you're busy.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm excited to see what's in the future. I'll keep you posted.
Please do. God bless you. Keep up the great work.
You too. Thank you so much. We will not be
moved. We will trust. Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.